Welcome to the Moms of Triathlon podcast. I'm Amy Henderson, pro triathlete and competitive cyclist and mother of two to Oliver, who's four, and Margo, who's two.
And I'm Allie Wilson, former college swimmer turned triathlete and full-time stay-at-home mom to my 2.5-year-old daughter, Beth, and my 4-month-old daughter, Hannah.
And I'm Jen Gottschalk, also a former college swimmer turned triathlete. I'm an in-house commercial attorney and mama to Maddox, my 2-year-old son. This week, we are welcoming Allie back to the show. We're so excited. Yay. And we will be talking about fitting in workouts as a new mom. But first, let's hear some updates. Allie, what's been going on with you?
Oh, so much. I feel like I was thinking about it before jumping in. I was like, we should change the show to like after the kids are asleep, like late night mom talk show.
Yeah. Because do any of us do triathlon anymore?
The one time we can all get together, 9 p.m. Yeah.
It's nice at least that Jen's on our same time zone now. Because, like,
thank goodness.
Like, you know, it's been a lot longer than I figured it'd be like a few weeks, honestly, until I was coming back. But then it's like newborn sleep schedule, like not sleeping at night, figuring out all these things. And then Jen on a different time zone. And Amy, you were able to record with her like during, you know, not 11 p.m. her time. And and then it was like her moving. And
then my kid's sleep schedule was crazy, too.
Yeah. Like, and your kids are going to bed at like 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was having the same thing, too. Like, Max going to bed so late that I was like, there's no way I can record after he goes to bed.
I know. I forgot about that. But like, it was, I think, with the summer, like the sunset was so late. Like, I think Beth it was just bright out.
It was really hard. Yep.
Yeah.
That was our issue. Like, it honestly, I can't believe how much I welcome the darkness now, because it really is helping.
I agree. Yeah. We've had Beth in bed every night at 8 p.m. for the last like month, and it's been really nice.
Maddox is moaning in the background right now. I can still hear.
Oh, no.
But we're working on it this week. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So back at least today. So we'll see. But it's been a pretty good week. We went on a vacation for 2 weeks up to Vancouver Island, Canada, with both kids and my parents. And so that was a lot of fun. And then came back and we all had COVID. And so then we were like sick for a couple weeks. And so this has been a good week because it's our first week of trying to like, you know, reestablish a little bit of a routine. We'd done a couple swim lessons with Beth over the summer. And so now we have weekly swim lessons with her, with the same swim coach we worked with before. And also Thursdays we do gymnastics. And so this was only the second time we were able to make it to gymnastics with Amy's in the same class. So that's really fun. So yeah, that's pretty much, I guess, the short updates of this week, other than the fact that I don't know if you guys can see my balding spots.
Oh, no.
We are going on a month and a week or so of my hair just falling out of my head by the fistful.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Did you guys deal with that postpartum hair loss?
I don't think I dealt with it in any obvious way compared to, like, some friends who have talked about it. But I definitely think I had, like, better hair while I was pregnant. So I know I dealt with it at least on some level.
Yeah, I didn't ever notice the hair falling out, but I definitely noticed the regrowth with like the small little tiny
growing back.
My sister-in-law has like a full set of bangs right now. Like, we literally thought she got her hair set. It's like styled like that, and it's just her postpartum like regrowth.
Well, we talked about this. So it was a year ago because I got my hair colored in September last year. Mm-hmm. And when I went in, the lady was like halfway through and she's like, did you lose a bunch of hair? And Beth would have been about 18 months old. And I was like, what? And then I was like, oh, yeah. And so she obviously was seeing like halfway down all the hair regrowth. And I'm like, well, here's all my bald spots again.
Oh, man.
It's all falling back out.
Yeah.
So I figure I'll go get my hair colored again after it stops falling out, because it's going to be like half as much. Yeah. So like fewer foils is cheaper, right?
That's, yeah, they should put that on the board as a special. Yeah.
Postpartum hair loss. Yes,
that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Allie, no pressure to catch us up all at once. We're going to definitely, like, this week, we're going to focus on more updates of like how you've been fitting in workouts. And then over time, we can do some similar targeted main segments on the the postpartum period. So
it works. Amy, what's been going on with you this week?
Well, we made the move. The move happened. It's actually been 2 weeks since we recorded last. So spoiler, we moved 2 weeks ago. And so first I was going to give the update on the color coding.
Okay. Yes.
I would not call it necessarily a success. I think that the movers like didn't really care. Basically, okay, we had everything color coded, and the pros that I will say, like, one is that now when I look at boxes that are in random places in the house, I know where they're supposed to go. So that's helpful. And here were some of the issues. Issue number one, there were two trucks of movers. So the first truck of guys got to the house and I had put on the wall, like the map with my color coding. I'd put the tape over the different doors for like what was supposed to go in there. I was missing one of the colors. So like that was a problem. And then, you know, I explained it to the first truck of guys, but then the second truck of guys came, but I was sort of like rushing around and I had to go pick up Nick and whatever was going on. And so I didn't actually explain it to them. Oh, no. So that was problem number one, was like only one of them knew that it was even a thing. So that's why the garage and the people who were dumping into the garage were just like, didn't know about it. So the garage is just filled with random stuff, which is whatever. It's fine. Issue number two is that I didn't, like I just mentioned, I didn't stay at the house while they were unloading because Nick was back at the other house. I had to pick him up. I had to like, I don't know. I think that was the main issue. I think I picked him up, but then we did a bunch of stuff at the other house. And so basically the whole time they were unloading, where obviously the most ideal thing would have been for one of us to be here directing them with where we wanted things to go.
Right.
Nobody was here.
Oh, man.
Allie, so no one was up, like, this is stressing me out. Like people are just moving stuff in your house and you don't know where it's going.
And then like we get a call when we're on the way back and they're like, yeah, we finished. Like, okay, we're like 5 minutes away. They're just chilling, they're having a break, like great, good for us. And then he sort of walked around. He's like, I don't want to leave a job if stuff is in the wrong spot. So he's like, does everything look like it's in the right spot? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, no.
If you don't want to be the person who's like, actually, no.
Yeah, like, actually, like, I feel like there was maybe, and mostly, you know, they tried to put stuff back where they got it. So, you know, the furniture, like the beds were in the right spot. You know, things were generally fine. And then some of the things you're like, it's not that heavy. We can move that.
Up our teeny tiny narrow stairwell.
I know. Yeah. And luckily it really wasn't anything too bad. Well, I guess the biggest issue was that there was a whole, IKEA like futon couch that just ended up in the garage that was supposed to be in the basement. Because the biggest issue, this couch actually caused a lot of issues. This couch was upstairs at our old house, right? And rather than taking it apart, which is what we've always done when we've moved it, or past movers, I think, have done, they decided to go for it and tried to get it down the stairs. And they broke a hole in the drywall.
Oh, no.
No.
Which we've already had repaired and the moving company is supposed to cover. So, like, hopefully that's all fine. But yeah, they broke a hole in the drywall. And then, of course, like I said, it ended up in the garage. And this is what Cass is like sleeping on now. It has, it's super comfy. Like I've slept on it full nights a bunch, you know, super, super comfy. But so that night, Nick had to put together Margo's new IKEA bed, put together Ollie's IKEA bed. Everything's from IKEA. And then disassemble the futon, move it downstairs, and put it together. This was all the first night, just so that we could like all sleep in a bed that night.
Wow. I would have just taken the mattress from the garage and thrown it on the floor and dealt with the frame
that's
later.
That's how we're still sleeping in Reno. We are just on a mattress that's on the floor.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And then the final issue with the color coding, and this was the funniest one, I thought. So at the old house, there were a few items that we were leaving there because they weren't going to work in the new house, right? So there was like a sideboard, there was like a bench, and we were going to leave some stuff on the wall and didn't want them to take it off, some mirrors and stuff for staging. And so I had put like blue painter's tape on those items and wrote the words like stay. And then there was a couple items I'd forgotten to label. And so when the movers came and I was telling them, oh yeah, this one's also going to stay, this one's going to stay, he was like, oh, do you have any more of the blue tape? So rather than blue tape with the word stay, it just became like blue tape meant don't move it. So, but unfortunately, blue tape had also been intended to mean Ollie's room. So after the movers leave and I look in the closet where like all the toys were, because they were all going to be going into Ollie's room because we're using that now as like the playroom also. There was a whole bunch of boxes with blue tape on them that just got left there because they thought it meant stay.
Oh my gosh.
So it seems like this is like 85% really successful and 15% not at all successful. Like it doesn't seem like there was a middle ground on like it either really worked or really
didn't. I think
didn't.
Your percentages are maybe flipped.
Yeah. I was going to say, so Amy, what is the consensus? Is it a hack or a quack?
I'm going to say, I mean, if Allie did it, it would be a hack.
I don't know how you moved in 2 weeks. Like, I've been stressing out about, like, I don't know how you did it.
I know. It is, like, if we were moving stuff ourselves, it would have been successful because we would have followed it, right?
I was just thinking that, too.
And if I would have stayed at the house, I do think that what would have been better also is, like, and I sort of knew this, and I was lazy, right? There's many ways in which in this story you can see how lazy I really am. But one of the ways I was lazy is I needed tape and the word. I needed both, you know? And I knew that, and some of them I did both. But the movers, I mean, they aren't going to learn the color. And so, yes, if I am in the house and I see the color and I say that goes there, that could help me be faster. Mm-hmm. But like the only thing that is really going to get them to put it is like if they see the word, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so even when we moved a couple years ago, I realized I had a whole roll of fragile stickers that were bright orange. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to put these on all my boxes that are really breakable. Didn't do anything.
Oh. Yeah.
Bright orange fragile stickers. Didn't. No significance. So. Yeah.
Which, you know. Yeah. Pack well, folks. But Jen.
Yeah.
So, you know, enough of my move. We moved in. The day after moving, I was literally on the couch like. Incapacitated, like I was trying to do stuff and I was just kept getting that tingly feeling like I was gonna pass out. And so I was trying to like, I was like drinking Gatorade and like eating like an Iron Man just so I could try to function during the day. So yeah, I pushed myself really hard. So that was my move. But Jen, you also recently got an influx of boxes of things that you own.
Yes, all of our stuff is here, Devin. Ultimately had to trade in his truck. We just got a new one and he drove that with the trailer that had been in Texas for like a whole month or more back here. And we have all of our belongings. We are working through unloading them as quickly as you can with full-time jobs and a toddler. It's like so crazy because pretty much my unpacking time is when Maddox is home. So it's like, you know, but my priority has been the kitchen. So I have that like decently dialed in so that we can like cook and live in that way a little bit better, which is good. But yeah, we're working through all of it, but that was very exciting. And I think I just expected to feel like settled the second we have it, but I still feel unsettled because we just have stuff everywhere. So, but I know it's coming and it's still a step. So that's good.
How long have you actually been in the house now?
Since like August 24th or something like that. So,
oh man. So like
we're coming up on a month and a half.
2 months. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So it's been it's been a bit, but yeah, we're very excited to have our stuff and, you know, we could be going a little bit faster, but we still left town last weekend for Maddox's second birthday and went to Mammoth and spent that with my parents. So we have a 2-year-old now. I can't believe it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Oh, how was the birthday?
It was good. I mean, I definitely, you know, did decorations or things are probably more for me than Maddox, but I loved it and thought it was so cute. And his reaction was really cute. So I had done like just this little corner in our cabin, like by the fireplace, I put up like a big happy birthday sign that was construction themed. And I did like a big gold tube balloon and a dump truck balloon. And then some random orange, yellow, and black balloons. And then our main gift from him was 4 of the trucks from the Tonka Steel Classics line that are going to be like for the backyard for him to play in like the rocks and dirt and stuff. And so we like left those like unwrapped, like opened them out of the boxes. Devin did that part, put them on display. And then like the couple gifts we had that were wrapped from like my parents or whoever, we had them wrapped like in construction themed like wrapping paper or gift bags too. So it was like full on construction theme. And when he walked out in the morning, he did this little like shrug with his hands and his arms, like, oh, it was so cute. So he was definitely excited. And, yeah, I remember Amy, you texted me, you were like, did he go for the balloons or the trucks first? And I was like,
oh yeah,
my kid is definitely all trucks. Like
I
for sure.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's so cute. Cool.
I feel like times when I've decorated for the kids and stuff, like, I don't know. I've always wanted them to be more excited and, you know, like you can't expect that much. I'm sure they appreciate it,
yeah.
But maybe they don't, you know, you don't get the like big, crazy reaction out of really young kids, I don't think.
Totally.
So I like the shrug. That sounds like so golden.
Yeah, you know? It was really cute. I can't remember if I sent you all the video or not, but if I didn't, I'll definitely send it along because it's cute. And he definitely was very into the trucks, surprisingly, because we got him a tow truck, a dump truck, a loader, and a dozer. And he historically has loved dump trucks and loaders. And he was instantly wanted the tow truck and was like obsessed with the tow truck the most of all of them. So that was really fun. But the other funny thing was like, there's also a small element of like, okay, man, we can never think of everything. So all these trucks come with a little thing on the back where it looks like a hitch. And Maddox is so obsessed with, you know, like dad's big truck and trailer and all that. Yeah. And so then he was crying, asking for a trailer. Oh, and we're like, oh, no. Well, they didn't come with a trailer. We failed, you know?
Oh, my God.
It's so funny. But Devin,
I was going to say, that's why he wanted the tow truck.
He's yeah.
Like, dad's had his truck towed like 4 times.
Yeah. Yeah. But Devin like made him a small little trailer that he got to like hook in from like things he found in the, from things that he had like found in the garage. So that was really funny.
Oh.
But yeah, I was just cracking up because I'm like, you have 4 brand new Tonka trucks and you're like, where's the trailer? But,
so
yeah.
Good. Awesome. Well, congrats on having a 2-year-old.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get into our main segment. So this week for our main topic, we want to get into what I would pretty much consider like the main topic of the whole podcast, which is how do you fit in workouts as a mom? And I think about this because, you know, even when we have guests on, that's one of the biggest questions I have. That's a question we've gotten from listeners to us, like, how do you fit it in? How do you do it? And I think what's hard is when you are years removed from the newborn phase or years removed from any given phase or even months removed. I mean, even like a week removed, right? You really do start to forget all of like the little details and the little things that came up and the little like hacks that you had that maybe worked for a week and then didn't work the next time you tried to do it. And so I know like we've had guests on where I've asked, you know, how did you get in workouts? And it just like, I feel like somehow it always comes across sounding so easy. And Allie, I know that we have been hearing your examples of what's been working, what hasn't been working, what worked once and never again. Just as we've been texting, and I know you've been sharing it on social media and stuff also, maybe we can start with like, give us the general overview of, you know, where you're at now and where you have been. I know it's changed a lot, but give us a brief overview and then we can dive into some of the specifics.
So my average hours per week right now, I think is zero.
So, very, very like, relatable though. Okay. I'm serious.
So I know one of the things we've talked about is like social media, it's hard because you see the people that are doing it all because everybody shares when they're doing it all, but you don't see when people aren't doing it. And I'm a great example of not doing it right now. I think when I had Beth right at first, I had really high expectations to myself to do it all. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be the best mom, the best athlete I've ever been. And then going into having Hannah, I had a lot lower expectations because I knew that I realized how hard it was. You know, you can fit workouts in during nap time and stuff, and you can develop your routines as time goes on, you know, especially when naps get more consistent. But now with two kids, they're not napping at the same time. And honestly, like, you know, I think the first couple months I was trying a little harder to like fit in workouts. Hannah was sleeping a ton. Mm-hmm. Beth was somewhat consistent with like a quiet time. So when I did my like update for like how it's going 2 months in, when Amy found me on the bike that day, that was my last time on the bike.
Yeah,
that was like 10 weeks ago. So, you know, it's just I'm kind of just fitting stuff in if I can and when I can. I've been doing a lot of walking with the stroller, and I was actually pretty excited. August, I put 40 miles of walking in. And so like, I mean, that for me is just movement. Like, I'm not trying to train. I'm not trying to, you know, fit a bunch of stuff in on a schedule or anything. Like, I'm just trying to move and like get outside, and because movement makes me feel good. I do remember, like, Amy, I don't know if you remember, it was like one of the last days that I swam before Hannah was born. And I had got to the pool a little bit before you did. And I'd been swimming, you get there and you had a big smile on your face. And I was kicking on the kickboard and I just started sobbing.
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, what's going on? And I just was like, I'm realizing that this is all going to go away. Mm-hmm. Like, the pool's always going to be there. But like my routine that I have now, like I was swimming 3 days a week. And I had my set times and stuff. And I knew, like, having gone through it already once before, I knew that it was going to be, we were going to be working on like pumping schedules and how much baby sleeps at night. And, you know, now needing somebody to watch two kids and whatever that looks like. And so I remember being underwater and just, it hit me like, this is my place that I feel safe. And this is like my happy place. And that's going away. And that was really, really hard. And so, you know, I was trying really hard to like get back in the pool consistently, go back to the evening masters workouts. But then I actually got mastitis a second time. I know when I was on before, I'd just gotten over it once, but I got it the second time and I was almost hospitalized. Like, I was really, really sick. I didn't know you could get that sick from mastitis. And so my supply like tanked, because when you get that sick, your body prioritizes taking care of itself, not producing milk. And so much energy of your body, if you're breastfeeding, goes into producing milk that it has to preserve that to like keep you okay. And so then I was like, okay, well, this sucks. Like, this is the end of my breastfeeding journey and she's 2 months old and this isn't what I expected. And so we were going to try to switch to formula. And so we kind of started doing that. And it honestly, she hated it. Like, we couldn't get into a routine. that was horrible. And I was able to get my supply back up. And so now we're exclusively breastfeeding. I'm hardly ever pumping. I'm like so worried about like pumping and then getting an oversupply and dealing with clogs again. Like I'm terrified of getting mastitis again. And so that's where I'm at right now. That's playing a really big role in what I'm doing. I'm not super interested in getting up extra early to pump and go to the pool or pump at night and go to the pool. I mean, obviously swimming is like the hardest thing to do. Just we've always talked about that.
So can you remind me like how, cause I was surprised honestly early on, like how you were fitting in any swimming at all. Like same. You've gotten into a routine where you were swimming. And so, you know, what you're saying makes a lot of sense of why that's changed. But just to give sort of the full picture of like both like how you did it and also how it's difficult, like how did you do it?
Well, right at first it was easy. I would pump and then I'd leave the bottle with Nick and then I'd go and he would just have both kids and it was fine. Hannah was also sleeping all the time. Right. She was really easy. She could just sit in like her bouncy chair or her like recliner chair or whatever that we've got, or like in the pack and play, or Nick could just hold her. Like she was just easy those first few weeks. And then when she was 8 weeks old is when I got mastitis the second time. And then in that kind of window, she started getting fussy in the evenings. And so at first it was like, hey, we're going to make this work. And then it realizing that evening window, I mean, the bedtime window, witching hour time, like all of that all at once.
It
became too much.
Did you have times where you were going in the morning at all? Like where you were pumping, waking up, pumping, leaving a bottle also? Was that a thing?
I was doing that. I did that a few times. And I think I just kind of got out of that routine. Like I think I went to the river once or twice.
Yeah.
You know, again, Hannah was sleeping a ton.
Yeah.
And Beth was sleeping till 8 and the morning's easier, but you know, and I did it with Beth. Like when I pumped with Beth for 4.5 months, like I would get up and I would get up at like 3:45 and I would pump and then I would eat breakfast and I would leave, like had the whole routine. The difference there is that everything revolved around my pumping schedule, not around a feeding schedule. I didn't have to worry about if I'm feeding, like nursing and then pumping, and if that back to back is going to mess with the supply. And like there's, to me, it just has ended up being so much, I'm just mentally, it's just easier to not right now.
To not pump.
To not, to not pump, to not have to worry about it. And like, I remember Amy in one of our early episodes, like you talked about mom identity and that you were going all in on mom identity. And I feel like that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, totally. The big meta picture, like totally get it. Like totally get, you know, where you're at and like, you know, we can talk about that and we should talk about that too. But just like on the specific topic of fitting stuff in, you know, just for our listeners, like I know another idea that you've talked about that could come up in the future, like when it makes sense, is you've talked about the possibility of, you know, your mom before Hannah was born, she was helping more and more watch Beth during the day for periods, you know, you had a lot of doctor appointments and all of that. And I know you've also talked about the idea of like, I mean, it's hard to leave anyone with two, right? With a toddler and a baby. And so I know one of your ideas has also been that your mom watches Hannah and then Beth is able to potentially go to like, there's a daycare at our gym where she could go and then she's away from you for a shorter period of time and you could like get the swim in. And then I know another thing you've talked about is like, were you using the pool that was closer to your house?
Yeah. So we thought about doing the daycare thing. And again, it's just like, it's just easier to not.
Yeah.
Like, and that's truly like, that's the reality. And so, yeah. And then there is a pool a bit close to my house. Like the one I usually swim at is 30 minutes away. And then especially if in the morning, like Nick is having to work a lot earlier than he used to, like when Beth was tiny, his job started later. And now he's having to be out the door sometimes by 6 or 6:30. Oh, and if I'm going to swim, the earliest I can get home is like 6:30 or 7. And so that's made that difficult. And so there are some days, like if I tell them ahead of time or we talk about it, like I can go and try to get a swim in early in the morning at the pool close to home. I don't even shower there. Like it takes me 90 minutes round trip instead of like 2 hours and 15 minutes. And so it's just, I was doing that a little bit. And you know, I probably will try to do that again here and there, but I haven't swam in over a month now. I'm hoping to start getting back on the trainer in the mornings. I think that's kind of the big thing. I think we're going through a 4 month sleep regression with Hannah right now. So she's like, we've had a few nights where she's up every 90 minutes. And so then to like turn around and try to get on the bike.
Yeah.
And the next morning I'm like, no, there's no way. So we did have one good night of sleep last night. And my rule to myself is that one good night of sleep is great. I'm not going to get up and do like my morning workout until it's a second good night of sleep. You know what I mean? So like she slept well last night. I was awake at like 4:30 and I'm like, I could go get a workout in. I'm like, nope. If she sleeps well again one more night, then tomorrow morning I will try to do that. But I'm not going to do it on the first night I've actually caught up on sleep.
Yeah. So does that mean, I know the other day you mentioned that you like had your trainer set up and then something went wrong and you weren't able to. So like, is your trainer set up? Are you going to have it set up tonight before you go to sleep in case?
So yeah. So the trainer's kind of always set up in the garage with varying levels of, has it been written in? Is there grease on the chain? Is there cobwebs on the chain? So yeah, I did make sure that was all set up. I had everything figured out where it was. I have like my bike apparel set up. So like my bibs and socks and stuff like that. That's all set up in the bathroom. It's been sitting there for 4 days. So it's still set up for Monday. It's Thursday. Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm leaving it set up. So if I do
it's
get
a
up.
A beacon of hope just sitting there in the bathroom.
Yeah. I mean, getting covered in other stuff. Yeah. Like it's still there. It's just hasn't been used yet. So yeah, but that's true though. Like having stuff set out the night before, or if you're going to swim, or if you're hoping to swim, or you're hoping to do whatever, set it out the night before, because you know, if you wake up and even if you're like somewhat motivated and you're like, I don't have anything ready to go. I don't know where my goggles are. You're not going to go.
So or you just shouldn't even try because it's going to be so crazy. Yeah. Like those are the mornings when like I get up, I think I'm going to make it happen. And then I get thrown off by like so many things that I'm just end up sitting there like, nope, not going.
Yeah.
Not biking.
Well, yeah. By the time you get your ducks in a row, you're like,
that was the time that I had.
That was
the baby's crying now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am like the last like week or so, I've decided like, okay, I do really want to try to start figuring out how to do biking in the morning. Cause that means I'm home, right? I can just get on the trainer. I don't have to pump to go anywhere. I don't have to prep anything. And if I'm early enough, then I'm home. And if Nick needs to go, like the kids are still asleep. Like,
yeah.
So that's the hope there is the mornings I can start doing.
Yeah. And the trainer
on the bike at home
is so nice too, because you're in the house and like, if you have to stop, you have to stop and you get off.
Yeah.
And you're there.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you're right there.
Fine. Yeah. It is really nice.
As far as running. So I don't remember if I've updated on here. I know I talked a while ago about like, hey, maybe my foot problem had to do with being like my pregnancy or whatever. And I can't remember if I've actually updated on here, but I was seeing a PT. So when I had the second round of mastitis, actually both rounds, you can go and get ultrasound done on the clogs in your breast tissue. And so I was going and doing that. And I was talking to one of the women and I was like, well, I've got this foot thing. And she looked down at my shoes. She goes, your shoes are too small. And I was like, what? And she's like, your shoes are too small. Like she literally looked down, felt them, and she's like, they're too small. You need bigger shoes. And I've been running in the same size shoes in the same brand of shoes for almost 10 years.
So
and
crazy.
Could not like was creating pain for over a year when I tried running, walking, everything. Like it was just off and this pain developed. And I went and ordered a half size up and I put them on. And immediately the pain was gone.
That's crazy. Did you have that issue at all? Remind me, before Beth, or it was starting after Beth?
So it would have started, like, I was thinking about the timeline. So I'd been wearing these shoes through pregnancy, the first pair, like we'll call them pair A, through pregnancy. And I'd been walking a lot. So I'd kind of worked into that, like the footbed probably was fine. But then I got a new pair for Christmas when Beth was like 10 months old. Mm-hmm. And the arch felt weird. Mm. But I was like, oh, it's probably just a fluke, and ran through it. And I did marathon training in those. So the problem obviously started after Beth and then continued on. So basically it would have been Christmas, December, and then July was like the last time that I ran, July of 2022.
I was asking because I, so like pre-Maddox, I wore a size 10 shoe and I ran in 11s. And after I had Maddox, I bumped my running shoe up to an 11 and a half. Because I have really high arches, so I'd collapsed a little, so I needed like a longer shoe. And I did that like immediately when I was cleared to run. And then now I'm my normal like day-to-day shoes, I'm in all like 10 and a halves and 11s. So that's why I was...
Yeah, I like have to go through and like get rid of all my shoes. Yeah, I got rid of
literally every shoe except for like a few other non-running shoes that I'd had that were already in an 11 or something, so they still fit.
Yeah.
But that's why I was like, I think it'd be crazy if you were actually wearing the wrong size shoe for 10 years. So I was curious if maybe your feet changed.
Yeah, no, this changed. Like I was, the problem came up after Beth was born.
Makes sense.
And didn't get, so it's just kind of nuts. So like as far as running, I hadn't been running forever. And so I decided I would try to run. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do like 1 minute walk or 1 minute jog, 4 minute walk. Like six times through, like, you know, going out 30 minutes. And I was really excited about that. Actually, I did it on a Saturday. I was like, I'm going to be gone for, you know, 30, 45 minutes. Nick had both the kids. I think, I don't remember if I pumped before this or not, or just made sure Hannah had just eaten. And I put on like a regular sports bra, you know, hadn't worn one of those in a while. And I was trying to run and stuff and it felt good. Like my legs, everything felt relatively good for not having run in like 2 years. But afterwards, I was so paranoid about my boobs. And I think I was not long post that second round of mastitis. And I think I was just like so nervous that I'd like upset the breast tissue. I don't even know if that's a thing.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that when you mentioned the sports bra, just like, I feel like I've heard, you know, that can be an issue of just like bras that are too tight
causing
problems. And I mean, but I understand your paranoia after what you've gone through, and not even like calling it paranoia, but just like trying to be aware and concerned. And like, I don't know, what my other thought is, like, at least with running, like thinking about what, I don't really know how ultrasounds work or how that's like helping release a clog, but I'm like, maybe them moving around is good. Maybe more of the problem is tighter bra, but like if it's too loose, okay.
Well, one of the things they've said with the clogs and stuff, and not to like go long winded on this whole thing, but honestly, like my breastfeeding situation is really like the root of where I'm at. Like I know that if I wasn't breastfeeding at this point, or you know when I was pumping full time with Beth, like I was when I was relying on that, and I mean this is kind of driving my decisions right now. But they said, and I think this is silly, but it's super funny, is shake your boobs.
Yeah, that's right.
And they said that like, if it sits long enough, if your milk sits long enough, it can separate and the fat can cause, like if you have milk sitting in the fridge, you see it separate. And so, you know, somebody told me that the milk can separate within the ducts if it's not moving through. And then that like fattier part can cause a clog. So I don't know how accurate that is, but they basically said, just grab them, just grab them and give them a shake. I was like, you mean like a couple times a day, just randomly throughout the day, just start shaking them.
That is so funny. I've never heard that before.
I hadn't either. So yeah. So that's the one time I ran. I like to maybe try to run again, but we'll see. Like I'm just like nervous about it.
So was that the one time just because it's been hard to get out. And because of how you were like a little bit nervous after, or yeah, just why?
Kind of all of the above. Hannah also can't be in the jogging stroller yet because she's only 4 months old. So that one day I went out, it was, again, it was a weekend. I just ran around by home. But I have been thinking that after she's 6 months old, I will try to like do a little bit more, not like specific running, but like, I don't know, just go out and pick a flat path and like try to jog here and there, like off and on. I don't know if I'll follow a formal return to run plan, but like if I take the kids for a walk, throw in some 1 minutes just to try to like rebuild that. Because yeah, like in the perfect world, running would be the easiest thing to do with the kids. I did it a ton with Beth. And so actually Beth's been great in the stroller. Wondering. She really likes it with
Hannah. Oh, that's fun. And then is Hannah are you using the Thule double jogging stroller?
Yeah. So I've got the Thule double and she's in the car seat attachment piece.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's so great. And like, so we'll be able to use that stroller once she's out of it. And so, I mean, she's four and a half months now. And I know they can't run in the stroller until 6 months, but I'll probably, you will see where she's at. Like, maybe I'll try putting her in the stroller without the car seat and like see how she does, and then just be like really careful going over curbs and stuff. Cause I know that like that's the issue, is the jostling.
Yeah. And I saw her sitting like, up just, today at that's the gym, and she was like looking really good. You know,
I was gonna say,
control's good.
Yeah. Our pediatrician said once they sat up, which like I think is around the 6 month mark for a lot of kids, but it can vary. So if she's got good head control, like, you know.
She can't sit up, but she can definitely like support herself. She just can't like sit.
Yeah.
I mean, she can kind of do the lean forward thing, which I've tried doing a few times. I'll lean her forward, you know, like the butterfly, and then she'll sit there and then she'll be good. And then just face plant. Sorry. Oops. So hopefully we'll do that soon. But yeah, Beth really likes walking with her in the stroller. Aww. So that's a lot of fun. And so I'll definitely be doing the more of that, but now we're also getting into like rainier weather. And so it'll be a hit and miss, but it's been nice to kind of do that, you know, and I feel like I'm kind of allowing myself to take this break, this mental break, I'm not pressuring myself to do anything. And I'm trying to not look at it like I'm failing at it or I'm not coming up with excuses, because that's not my priority right now. But my priority is moving when I can in ways that feel good, in ways that work with me, that keep my stress low. Like I'm not adding stress in order to exercise. And I'm trying to just be okay with, if I'm not able to do exercise right now, then I can't, or I'm prioritizing sitting on the couch and watching TV with my husband in the evening instead of doing a yoga workout. But, you know, hey, maybe I'll start mixing those back in. And I think a lot of that's going to be dependent on sleep stuff. So, you know, I'm giving myself this year and then planning on weaning it a year. Hopefully we make it a year with breastfeeding. And then at that point, I think that's when I'm going to be more like mentally, physically, like all in on, okay, I've had a good long break and I'm ready to really get back into trying to train and stuff. So we'll see.
Yeah. I've for one, love the point about, you know, appreciating, focusing on like what you are prioritizing in a moment. And sometimes it's, you know, sitting, watching TV with your husband, right? Like, I so many times would think, okay, I'm going to like fit this last workout in, like in the evening, watching TV, going to do my strength workout or whatever. And like, it sucks, right? Even this recording, you know, this is really fun. Love chatting with you guys. But I know that it, you know, it is a little bit of like, this is all of our downtime. Like this is the time, and it's really important. And, you know, we've talked about it a lot lately. And so I think that's really just helpful to share and to say, because I think a lot of us feel that way, and it's easy to view TV time or chill time or just like lying on the couch doing nothing time as unproductive, but really
or it's lazy
necessary. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also loved how you said that you're trying to prioritize movement that doesn't increase your stress, because like exercise does increase our stress and activates the same hormone in our body that the stress hormone is, which is cortisol and things like that. So I think especially in like a postpartum phase and all of that, it's like so important to do that, to move in a way that just feels good, just brings you joy, just like makes you happy, whatever it is, versus like, oh, I have to do this. And then you're already like getting yourself worked up about it in a different way.
Yeah. And like, it's kind of like a continuation of pregnancy, mm-hmm. you know, when you're pregnant, it's easier when you're pregnant and you've got this growing belly to slow yourself down. Mm-hmm. And I think once you hit postpartum, you're like, baby's out. I gotta not bounce back necessarily, but I'm gonna get my movement back, get my exercise back, jump back into all the things I'm doing. But then you kind of forget that you've just gone through a massive body change. Mm-hmm. You're healing physically from pregnancy and birth. Mm-hmm. You may or may not be breastfeeding, which is a lot of your energy. And I do feel like even when I'm eating well, like my energy's just depleted. Like that's also been part of it. Like if I'm trying to do a harder swim workout when I was, or even some of my harder walks, like if I'm not eating enough, like I'm just totally depleted. And so, you know, cause we talked about before, like so much energy does go into breastfeeding. And so I don't know how women are breastfeeding full time and like competing it at the high level. I don't know how you're doing that. Yeah. Like, I don't know how people do that.
Again, pumping in transition and an Ironman.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, exactly. I like think about that now and I'm like, no.
Yeah. I think the same thing now.
Right? I think that first kid, that first year, you're like, I got this. And then it's like, oh,
yeah, catching up really to me.
Hard.
Yeah. And I didn't even, you know, we've talked about it before. I was not like as prepared as I should have been. But I was going to say that the women you referenced to, like doing it at a high level, I mean, of course, I'm sure some are like juggling things we can't even fathom, but there are a lot of them that have really great support systems. And like, especially if you're talking about certain pros, like they have a very different scenario than you do in a different kind of ability to have that dedicated time to figure, you know, fit in their workouts and all of that.
True. But like the physical energy of your body that goes into producing breast milk.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot.
Totally. And like, yeah, everything I said, not to diminish what they're doing, but I just think, you know,
for sure.
Everyone has such different scenarios and it's, it is so impressive though.
Yeah. And I think that's like, you know, sometimes I think about it as excuses to like not work out right now. And I realize they're not excuses because I'm like doing what's right for me right now. Mm-hmm. And an excuse is if I should be doing something or if I've dedicated to a training plan, like I'm just doing exactly what I should be doing. Yeah.
That's actually something like I've been thinking about lately too. And I've also struggled with is like an old mindset of, honestly, in high school, I did come up with a lot of excuses why I couldn't go to practice or, you know, like I was like a lazy athlete. And so now I know I've talked about this on the show because Allie, you're nodding your head. Now I struggle like with this move where I would just have like the feeling of, I definitely missed training days and stuff like that and felt like, what am I doing? Like, how am I like not prioritizing this thing that's supposed to be a priority? And then it's like, this is a 2-week move. Like, this is a short period of my life. And like, I'm prioritizing things in the right way and it's okay. And like, my coach isn't mad at me. Like, he's giving me space. He knows that like, I am doing this right now. Like, he's not disappointed in me. You know, that was a big part of it, was like feeling like I'm not doing well, but it's really getting away from that old mindset of like, oh yeah, maybe a past part of me would have been using it as an excuse and it wasn't true, but like I need to trust myself now and trust that if I'm doing this, then like it's for a good reason. If I'm skipping
away. Yeah. Well, and I think too, like what's the percentage of pros compared to the percentage of non-pro athletes.
Like, oh my gosh, like less than a percentage. Of us, yeah.
Exactly. Like most of us, we're doing our sport for fun, for fitness, for mental health. We're not doing it. It's not our job. And so it's not like you're skipping a workout and you're missing a day at the office, you know, mm-hmm. to do nothing. And even if you do, you're allowed vacation days from your jobs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of just a reminder that we're doing this because we enjoy it mm-hmm. and it makes us feel good, and figuring out how to do it in a way that makes you feel the best, you know?
Yeah, totally. Okay. So one random question, maybe we can close with this. This is very random. Fitting in workouts with young babies, right? On the If We Were Writing podcast, when Sarah True had just had her kiddo, Sarah Gross and Sarah True discussed whether or not it's okay and, like, should you be allowed to have your baby, if they're napping in their car seat, on the pool deck.
Oh, I've thought about this my whole
life.
I've thought about it a lot.
Yeah. Like, obviously, you know, temperature could be a factor and other things too. But if you're literally returning to that same side of the pool, you know, every 50 yards, it seems like, what would be the big deal?
I thought about this so
like,
much.
I'll jump back. I think when Beth wake up, it's fine. I totally had those thoughts too. Like, I could just bring them to the pool with me.
Oh my
right gosh. Or just yeah, I haven't done it, but I've strongly, like, I've very much considered yeah. it a few times.
I guess, like, Sarah Gross used to actually do that, and I think she'd be at Masters workouts, and so it was like with the Masters coach. So then she mentioned it to Sarah True, who was trying to figure out, like, how do I get in swim workouts without help and, you know, with the baby. And Sarah True, like, asked at their gym, and they were like, nope, can't do it. Not allowed. Someone could walk by and kick the baby in.
Wow.
Accidental. I'm like, not going to happen. And even if it did, like, I don't know. I think the car seat would probably float and, like, you'd have time. There's a lifeguard
there.
I don't know. Like,
I wouldn't trust.
Probably way
that scenario. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Way too big of a liability for them to take on. Whereas, like, a Masters coach, if you've got that agreement with them and they're responsible for you and, like, what's happening on the deck,
they're
during
basically
match
watching
time.
The baby.
I know.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it. I should just like talk to Brad, our Masters coach, and be like, so you're going to start doing Monday nights with Hannah in the front pack.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no.
That's funny. And now for our closing segment, our Go Mamas of the Week.
Go Mama.
Go Mama. Go Mama.
Go Mama.
These can be any small triumph or thing that's making us happy. Allie, what is your positive this week?
Oh, man. I mean, there's a lot of them. But honestly, to kind of like almost finish up our topics, really just like finding peace with where I'm at this phase of my life. You know, like, it is short right now and I don't have to do it all. And it's been a little bit of a struggle off and on to kind of get to this point. But like really being okay with where I'm at and just being at peace with it. So it's kind of like a vague win of the week, but it's also kind of all encompassing.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a good mindset to have.
Amy, what is your Go Mama this week?
Okay, is it okay if I do two really quick ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, no.
My first one is that this past weekend there was another, you know, birthday party for one of Ollie's classmates, and he did not want to go that morning. He was in, like, we'd had breakfast and everything. We were dressed, you know, basically ready for the day. And he was, like, in bed, crying, like, not wanting to go, hiding. You know, Nick tried to get him. Nick was like, I don't know what we're going to do. And I was so proud of myself because somehow, whatever I said, like, I got in bed, you know, and I was really focusing on, like, this is a park that you know, like, it's a park that's, like, really close to our new house. And so I was like, you're going to be the one who knows the park really well. You know, I definitely was talking about the donuts also, but I really think that talking about how he knew, like, this is your place, you know, like something changed, like a flip switched and he like decided to go. And I was just like, dang, that was good. Like, go mama. I was pumped. I was very proud of that. And then the second really quick one is, you know, I've been on the Buy Nothing groups a lot these weeks with all the moving and stuff. And I got on my new one and someone posted a box of maternity clothes with like pants. And I mean, just like, it was like a huge box. And we have a friend, Allie, in town who's pregnant. And I have been like, you know, giving her stuff that I have, but honestly been feeling a little bad because I already gave away so much of my, you know, old stuff to different people. And when I got this, I like put my name in the, you know, in the hat. And I was like, I have a friend who could use this. And I got it and I washed it. And like, I get to give it to her this weekend. And I'm just so stoked.
I'm honestly like, I told her like a week ago, because I didn't know she was pregnant at this time. Like 6 weeks ago, I didn't know she was pregnant or whatever it was. And another girl that I more of an acquaintance with, I gave her all of my maternity stuff. Because I was like, I hit that point where I'm like, starting the clean out. Yeah. Like, we're done at two. Mm-hmm. And I just gave her the whole box. I didn't save anything. And then I found out our friend was pregnant. And I was like, no. I want to be like, can I get some of those back? No.
Like, this you're due a few months before. Good, though. Like, so you can feel better,
good,
too.
Okay.
I mean, there's like over 10 good. Years of pants alone. Can you believe it?
Good. Yeah. Yes.
It's a find.
Yeah. That's the thing. Nobody knows about the secret world of hand-me-down maternity stuff and baby stuff until you're in it. And it's glorious if you can find that like circle.
Okay, Jen, what's your go, mama?
So I don't know if it's working that well yet, but my go, mama, is I've talked a little bit here and there over the last several weeks about struggling to get Maddox to sleep at night. And it like really disrupts my mental health to like lay in there with him for so long. Like not every night, but when it's multiple nights in a row or like when Devin was gone, I struggle more, all of that. And, you know, Devin's really supportive of kind of whatever process we want to take. But we have this week, we're like, we're not laying in there. We're reading books. We'll stay in the room for like maybe 5 minutes tops and then we're leaving the room. So my go mama is that I'm not laying with Maddox to get him to fall asleep. And we've had, you know, a couple nights where it was like not too bad. Tonight he's been crying for a really long time. He's finally quiet now though, but it is, even listening to him cry sadly is like, my mental health is way better during that than like when I lay there in the dark doing nothing for hours at a time. So my go mama is just like prioritizing that and prioritizing what I need from this phase right now too. And I'm confident that we'll like get him to a place where he's falling asleep on his own easier soon. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yay. That's one. Tough. Sleep stuff.
It is. It's my sticking point as a parent for sure. So.
Well, good job. It's hard, but it's like prioritizing your mental health. Well, that's it for our show this week. I'm super excited to be back. Don't know how often I'll be back. We'll see. We can fit it in amongst all of our schedules and our not sleeping children here and there. But thank you so much for listening. We are excited to continue to share our experiences training through pregnancy, postpartum, and with young kids. New episodes come out every Friday. And if you have any topics you want us to cover, any questions for us, find us on Instagram at momsoftriathlon or email us at momsoftriathlon@gmail.com. Bye.
It's back. I know.
You always see the moms that are doing it all. It's my alarm that literally says go to bed. Because I've been staying up so late.
That's funny. Because my phone just went into sleep mode at the same exact moment.